Paul says in verse 20, actually, I have been crucified with Christ. When he died, I died. Crucified with him. Have been. Interesting. The King James says, I am crucified with Christ. The NIV says, I have been crucified with Christ. And here's an interesting thing. They're both right. It's perfect tense in Greek. I'm not even sure we have perfect tense in English. Do we? Okay. But what it means is, it means a past completed action with present and continuing results. Which means there was a point in time when I died, when Jesus died for me, my trust in him judicially, I died at that point, the minute I put my trust in him. Past completed action, and ever since then, and all the way till he takes me home, it will be a continuing result of that action. I have been and am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, a new me. I wrote a note to myself because I have to constantly be reminded of this because legalism dies hard. But when the old me died on the cross, it wasn't just the old icky me. It wasn't just my sins. It was also my good works. It was also my perfect church attendance. It was all that was me, all that was of my flesh, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And now there's a new me. And the wonderful thing is, it's not just me that's living. Christ lives in me. Notice how many times Paul talks about Jesus Christ himself being our life. George MacDonald said, God never gives any of his attributes to us without giving himself. When he gives us peace, his peace, he gives us himself. When he gives us life, he gives us himself. So the life that we have, that new life that we were given, is a person. Here's the wonderful thing. And this is another thing that so many Christians have gotten completely wrong. Modern day Christianity appears to be a bunch of people trying to live like Jesus. But that's not biblical Christianity. That's works. That's legalism. Biblical Christianity is the Jesus who didn't stay dead, who rose from the grave, the Jesus who came into me when I invited him to come in and be my Savior and Lord. That Jesus is living in me, and he's making me like himself. And there's a vast difference. One depends on me. The other does not. The other depends on him. What a wonderful freedom. And that's exactly what Paul is saying in the rest of verse 20. He says, in the life that I now live in the body, I live by trusting in, completely relying upon, leaning my full weight upon Jesus. Impossible to live the Christian life separate from Jesus. He designed it that way. It's not like he says, okay, here's the rules. Good luck. Hope I see you in heaven. See, the denomination that I was raised in, it was never a settled issue. It went right down to the wire. I still feel bad that my grandma, who's the most godly person I ever met, never was ever assured of her salvation till the day she died. It was all about, I just hope I'm trusting God enough. I just hope. It was all about her. And she didn't have that. And she was a godly woman. But she didn't enjoy the freedom that God wanted her to have. She was still carrying the weight of it herself. Paul said, not me. Been there, done that. It killed me. He said, now, for me, I live my life totally dependent upon Jesus every step of the way. I wanted to read you some of the things that, including that Charles Spurgeon quote that I gave you because it was just so sweet in the beginning, about this phrase, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. First, just like Charles Spurgeon said, just let that roll around in your mind a little. Suck the juice out of that. Get that, the sweetness of that. What does that mean? It means that he's on your side. You don't have to prove something to him. You want to know if God loves you? Look at what he did on the cross. He proved it. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever trusts and clings to, relies upon him, will not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Loved me and gave himself for me, one commentator says. By saying this, Paul is appropriating to himself the love which belongs equally to the whole world. Because Christ is indeed the personal friend of each man and woman individually, and is as much to him as if he had died for him alone. Jesus didn't just die for the sins of the whole world, he died for you and gave himself for you. And I punch the devil in the nose with that all the time. That whole idea that you have to earn God's love and earn God's favor will kill you. The tragedy is the people that are trying to do that when he's already proven that they have his favor and they have his love. One thing Charles Spurgeon said about this phrase, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, he says, if anyone could have said, the Son of God whom I love and who I have given myself to, it would have been the apostle. But here he's not thinking of himself at all or what he had done or for the Lord, but only of what the Lord had done for him. And I'll read Spurgeon's quote again. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, take those blessed words of the apostle, put them in your mouth, let them lie there like wafers made with honey until they melt into your very soul. What if that issue, folks, what if that was settled very first thing every morning? Could the devil get away with any of his lies? I would tell you, if you're trying to make up for your sins, it's been done to death. Stop it. Not only can't you make up for your sins, you can't. It's not necessary. Jesus has done it. Just love him with all of your heart. Give him your life. So Paul says personally, and I can just, in the Bob movie version of this, he's looking around at this vast group of spirit-filled chickens, this vast group of prejudiced people who still don't get it. He's saying to this whole group of people that moved from one side of the room to the other side of the room, and now it's not about grace anymore. Now it's about we're the clean ones and you're not. And he looks at all these people and he says, personally, I never set aside the grace of God. Because if it was even possible for righteousness to be gained by keeping some set of rules, then Jesus died for nothing. I listen to that and I think, you cannot get any more clear or logical than that. But I have to tell you, until I read those words in my mid-20s, till Chuck taught them, I had never once considered that in all my legalistic years. I never thought that, like John Stott says, that what I was actually doing was I was denying God the freedom to be gracious. I was basically trying to earn love that was freely given to me. And what I was saying is, Jesus, thank you very much, but you didn't really do quite enough. I have to do these things. I have to do this list that my pastor just gave me. And we don't think of it that way, do we? When Jesus said, "It is finished," and the veil in the temple that was the most in-your-face statement of the holiness of God and the unholiness of humans that has ever been. That veil says, God says, "I'm holy, you're not, you can't come in here." And the minute that Jesus died and settled everything, and it says the minute he said it's finished, the veil in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. Then if Jesus didn't do enough and it's not finished and you and I have to add something to it, then he lied or he was deluded. Here's what legalism does with that veil. It sews it back up. And it says, no, you're not free to approach God. However, for a small fee, for the keeping of these rules, we'll let you in. We'll let you in here behind the veil into the presence of God. What a travesty. Isn't that good stuff? Next week we will continue. Let me read you the last thing, and you can pick up. I made plenty of copies of the... Let me read the last thing that John says on this Mr. Perfect versus Mr. Love. Saints, forget your regulations, your rules, your external stipulations. You're free in Christ totally and completely. Now you're married to Mr. Love. Let's pray. I have to tell you, Lord, I want this to be true, but I still have trouble believing it. It's right there. It's all over the place. It's just hard for me to believe because I live so differently. Most of us have never known unconditional love from a human, sometimes from our own families. So it's hard to believe that you, who are perfect and know everything, that you would love us the way you do. Hard to believe after slaving, trying to earn your favor. Hard to believe that that's all dead and that you're in a fixed position of love and acceptance towards me. I do know this. When I believe a position of love and acceptance towards me, I do know this. When I believe it, I'm stable and I'm secure and I grow. And you wind up being free to accomplish in me what I could never do for myself. Thank you, thank you, thank you for these wonderful words. Lord, I pray everyone that hears these things would check it out, especially if they don't believe it, that they would search it out and see if this is the truth. Because if it's the Lord, it changes. Amen. We love you, Lord. Amen.